I know I got some serious contrast going on today with the image on the studio cam, but that's okay because I want the contrast, because I am going to paint contrast for you today. The contrast between what God does and what we think he should do. And I'm afraid I'm going to be doing voices because I'm fired up about this and I'm irritated by it. But I like to think of this as holy irritation because I will use this irritation to teach. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender. You are at the Revelation series, show 171, if you can believe that. I don't know how this happens. Every show is a miracle, just like every day for me is a miracle. This miracle has been going on for 21 years, and you are a part of that. When I first started this work, I thought it would last a year. Then every day after that was a miracle. Every month, how is God going to meet my financial needs? And I've never been able to see clear like a yellow brick road 10 miles down the road. It's been one day at a time, one month at a time. And so I'm here by the grace of God. I would like you to believe God and stop reasoning about God. I'm not telling you to not be reasonable. I'm not telling you to use your logical deductive powers, because these are given you by God. I'm talking about the kind of reasoning that, because it doesn't understand why God does what he does, therefore it doubts that God does what he does. The 144,000 are a good example. We hear that these are celibate males. And many people would say, well, that's unfair. Where are the women? This is an unequal distribution. Well, I'm not aware that God is a communist. I'm not aware that he is an equal opportunity employer. And I'm not aware that he is a redistributionist. And he has an unfair amount of men. Yeah, it's quite unfair. It's 144,000 males. Well, why doesn't he have women in there? I don't know. And when you get to heaven, if that's the first question you want to ask God, then go right ahead. This is important because all through the book of Revelation and all through your life, all through everything that happens to you, everything you're going to read in Scripture, I'm teaching you to fish here. I'm teaching you to believe God. I'm telling you to belittle what you think you would do. Well, if I were God, I would have 75,000 women in there to make it fair. Of course you would. Yes, if you were God, you would do that. And if you were God, you'd only have, say, 3 eons instead of 5. And if you were God, you would bring Jesus Christ into the 21st century instead of first century Judea, because the internet's here. The ability to spread the message is so good. Why send Jesus Christ to a primitive era when the ability to spread the message around the globe is so limited? And in fact, if you had been Jesus, you would have told the disciples to take the message everywhere instead of saying, only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I know. So many things that just don't meet our standards. The Great White Throne, for instance. There is a book of life there. Some are written in the book of life, some aren't, based on their acts. Those who aren't are cast into the lake of fire, and they will miss the fifth eon. Oh, Mark, but that's not fair, because they weren't responsible for their own actions. God hardened their hearts. For instance, Pharaoh, Hitler, many of the Israelites. How can God send someone to the second death when he himself inspired their hardness? I don't know. Maybe when you get to heaven, you can ask Jesus that question. In the meantime, we must believe what God says and figure that he's going to do it. For instance, Babylon. The next world headquarters, the world capital, will be Babylon. I don't see how that can be, Martin, because Babylon is... Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you don't know how that could be. I'm sorry that because Babylon is now a waste in the desert... Actually, it's not. But anyway, I'm sorry that you think it should be some other city. I'm sorry that it doesn't meet your standards, and that as you look at your little world 10 feet in front of your face, you can't see how God's going to do it. You know. This is where faith comes in. This is where you believe what God says. But some people will take God's plain declarations, and because it troubles them, or because they wouldn't do it that way if they were God, or if they were Jesus, or if they were the Holy Spirit, therefore, God's not going to do it. This is criminal activity in my book. And anyone who makes these suppositions, I mean, you can have your own struggles in your own mind. It's like, God, why does God do that? It's so hard. I get that. But to then publicly say that God won't do that and explain the reason why is because it's so harrowing and heartbreaking, and God just wouldn't be that mean, blah, blah, blah. Now, under consideration here would be the snatching away of the body of Christ. Some would say, well, this is unfair of God, because if some children are not believers, then God is going to take the parents away from children. And God would never do that, because he would never, for instance, take me from the epicness of my parenthood to do what is best, what I think is best for my child. And so, therefore, the snatching away comes into disrepute. The snatching away is doubted. The snatching away, as described very plainly, one of Paul's few plain passages in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is disparaged and put into the shadows, doubted because, I just don't think God would do anything so mean as to leave babies behind. And this is what's going to happen. It's going to happen on a day, and if you're a believer and your children aren't, whether they're 1 month old or 25 years old or 50 years old, however old your children are, some of them, you know, are unbelievers. And this whole evil concept that God is this emotional as we are is based on the fact that we think we love our children more than he does. Martin, how can you say this? You've never had children. Really? I've had three. I do have three sons, and I raised them. And I believed in the snatching away when they were small. Did I love my kids? Yes. But Jesus Christ challenges us to love him more than our kids and to trust him. Here's a wild concept I'm going to introduce to you. Some of you, maybe, I hope not, for the first time today. Faith in God, trust God, and love his appearing, and he'll take care of the rest. Just love his appearing, just love him. Jesus Christ said when he was on earth, he who does not love me, and in comparison hate his mother or father or his children, it's relative. Not telling people to hate other people, it's all relative, okay? You hate them in relation to your love of him. And so you desire him, and you know that he is going to take care of it. So what's going to happen when babies are left behind, children are left behind? I don't know. It's not my business. But I'm not going to base my emotional wah-wah. I'm not going to throw away the snatching away based on my wah-wah wondering what God's going to do. Wah-wah. How dare you to question a clear passage of Scripture, to question God based on an emotional need, or the fact that you think you're the best thing that ever happened to your kids. You know, God can't survive without you. As if God does not take parents and children away constantly. Look, this world sucks. I hate this aspect of it. Children are bereaved of parents, and parents are bereaved of children all the time. You hear of parents being killed in a car accident, leaving their kids. It's horrible. It's terrible. But it's like God has never done this before. And in fact, it's easier, I would think, for the kids to be bereaved of parents than it is for parents to be bereaved of children. What about that? What about if your 12-year-old's a believer and you're not? You're 50, 60 years old. You're not a believer. Then your 12-year-old's going to be snatched away. Is that horrible? Why don't we ever think of that? Now that I've disposed of the human reasoning, I will ask this question. Have you ever heard of grandparents? Have you ever heard of relatives? Have you ever heard of brothers and sisters? Have you ever heard of social services? Have you ever heard of adoption? This happens all the time with children. In fact, I knew a woman in Colorado whose daughter was killed in a car accident, and her daughter had like four or five children. It was just a horrible tragedy. And the grandmother could not take care of these kids. And so these children of her daughter, her grandchildren, had to be adopted. And they were, quote, farmed out. I know that's a primitive term, terrible term to use, but I use it. And so, life sucks. This stuff happens. But the kids, she's still in contact with them, and they're growing up fine. And this is God's will for them. Sorry, God does hard things. Some people will even go, wah, 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 and any hard thing that God does, it's just not right, it's not fair, and therefore God doesn't do everything. Because I don't like it because, you know, I know better than God. That's what this boils down to. I know better than God. And therefore, I'm going to doubt his plain statements. Isaiah 45:7, I, the Lord, creator of good, maker of evil, I do all these things. Well, no, you don't, because evil things are hard. And you would never kill anybody, and you would never separate parents from children. Really? Really? You would never kill anybody? Gosh, he killed his own son. And he separated his son from his mother, and it was very grievous to her. But it lasted 3 days, and then he came back and went to his mom's house, and they had a cup of tea, and everything was great in the end. In the intermediary, it sucks. That was a rough 3 days for Mary. Rough 3 hours on the cross, 6 hours. It was horrible. Therefore, crucifixion didn't happen. No! We face it. We face it with faith. We face what God does. And I don't know why he does it this way. Ask him. You know, if it was up to me, I would have six eons, okay? If it was up to me, I wouldn't have a book of life. If it was up to me, I would have sent Jesus to the earth in 1959, the same year I was born. Like, he'd be in the incubator next to mine. Yeah, that's what I would do if I were God. If I were God, I wouldn't even do the snatching away because of the risk of separating people and bereaving mothers and children for a moment, for a brief moment compared to the aeonian times from their loved ones. Look, how dare you think that you love your kids more than God does? God loves them infinitely more than you do, and he knows what's best for them. If it's best for them to be raised as orphans by another person who might be better than you are, so be it. If it's his intention to take them through a hard time, to grow them in faith so that they become, let's say, believers. Okay. All I know is, I'm going to believe Scripture, and I'm going to assume creaturehood. I'm going to assume that God knows best, and I'm not going to use my emotional little baby questions and my baby doubts and my baby, like, whoa, why would God do that? I'm not going to let that mollify. I'm not going to let that disintegrate God's throne. And the fact that he does do everything and he does it well. And if he can kill his own son, listen, if he can kill his own son with a bigger plan in mind, and to me that's the ultimate. You kill your own son on a cross of crucifixion in front of his mother. That's the ultimate evil. And if he can take that and use that as the basis for all blessing, terrestrial, celestial, and subterranean, then he can take every lesser evil, including snatching away parents without children, or conversely, snatching away children without parents. I'm convinced in the greatness of God and the love of God that somehow he is able to make that work out to his glory, even though the intermediary time would be difficult. Yet, God is God. You are not God. God says 144,000 celibate males, that settles it. If it's not fair, if I don't like it, I can put in an objection at the dais or at the great white throne if I so dare. But I believe that when we have the mind of Christ, and I pray that some of us, many of us, are moving into the mind of Christ now, that we will grow up, that we will become mature, that we will be able to place our needs and our thoughts and our ideas as subservient to the needs, thoughts, and ideas of God. This is my prayer for you and for myself, to put our needs, our desires, our problems at his feet and trust him that he will do the right thing.